With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. Liverpool were pegged back by the Shrews. Manchester United destroyed Tranmere. And Newcastle United are still in the cup. Do you get that Monday feeling, ladies and gentlemen, when Marcus Speller, Luke Moore, Pete Donaldson and Jim Campbell are in your ears?
What feeling is it, though?
A very, very sexy one, Jim.
Yeah, because the way famously sexy Monday morning.
Yeah, the way you said it is like it's a positive thing, but I'm looking around this room and I'm not sure people agree with you, Marcus.
It's morning back. Glory with a U.
Damn yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Morning glory. Glory.
Yeah.
Jim's back from holiday.
Hello.
You've sunned yourself, you've beard yourself. Mm-hmm. Feeling good?
Yeah, I am, despite the latter.
How did the two generations of Campbells get on? In a villa or however, wherever
it,
you
yeah,
were.
It was fun. It was a resort. It was nice.
Nice.
Drink was taken.
Cool.
And a cheer went up from the locals as the plane departed.
chat about certain referendums was avoided, mostly successfully.
Cool.
Birthdays were had. I went to a water park and there was no one there because it was January. I was like a dog with a number of appendages. It was brilliant.
Wonderful.
Well, got a lovely tan.
Thanks.
Yeah. That's very healthy. Yeah,
shots sunbeds were very reasonable there.
Well, Jim, you're back in time to talk about the fourth round of the FA Cup.
Sure am.
Of course.
Wouldn't miss it.
And we start with the Shrews. Shrews. What about that? Hey, great comeback.
Yeah, I was hoping for a cup set of some description to punctuate my Sunday. And I thought it would be at Tranmere Rovers.
Or a cum set. Come on,
Pete, what? Pete, this is your territory.
I thought you were doing that with comeback.
Yeah. A man of God.
What, you talk about the cum dog millionaire.
Jason Cummings, as he's well known as.
I'm already sickened by this.
Yeah, Marcus horrifying.
Marcus is remarkably cheerful, considering he's having to talk about a man who's got the record for scoring in four Edinburgh derbies in a row against Hearts.
Yeah. Well, you know, credit where credit's due.
Yeah, he's done well there. If he can do it against Hearts.
If he can do it against Hearts. Well, it's an early mention for Hearts, who had, who were kingmakers by the looks of it. People said...
One or two.
Stop it! People, he's joining in. He's warmed up now.
Pete, of course he's joining in.
Takes a bit of warming up.
What a heel turn.
Yeah.
What an immediate heel turn.
One or two people tweeted me saying, oh, you know, thanks, Hearts have just handed Celtic the title. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's a late title bid from the Gorky boys.
Yeah.
Bottom to top in, 5 months? Would it be, be a remarkable achievement?
Don't hold your breath for that.
I'm surprised to be saying this, but can we talk about the cum dogs?
Can you just see Jason Cummings? Can you just see broadsheet journalist brows furrowing
right.
at his antics.
Yes.
They would absolutely hate it, the stuff yeah. he was getting up to. Like, oh, having fun in a dressing room with his pals. Yeah. No, well, not on their watch.
Why does he call himself the Cumdog?
Because his name's Cummings.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, he calls himself... In case anybody hasn't seen this...
It's an unpalatable name.
He yes. calls himself this because he's got sort of... He's a he does a
wrestling routine. He's got some... Presumably he's pals with some Scottish wrestler because they've got this like fake beef on Twitter.
Right.
And there was it's not the Scottish wrestlers that listen to us, is it?
I hope so.
Oh.
There's some video of them wrestling in a canteen somewhere and Jason Cummings is basically in his pants with Cumdog written on his chest.
Yeah. It's just great stuff.
And now really he's scoring goals against the club world champions.
And he said in his post-match interview, this, and the interviewer said, it couldn't have gone better for you, could it? Coming on and scoring two goals. And he said, I could have had a hat-trick, couldn't I?
Yeah, yeah. Damn right.
See, that's
I,
it.
And I think to be absolutely fair, those Shrews snaffled up a number of, well, they didn't snaffle up enough chances, but they had a number of chances with which they had an opportunity yeah. to snaffle.
Adrian was busy.
He was very busy. I love the Adrian look, by the way.
I do.
The full black yeah. milk tray with black gloves.
Nice.
He looks part assassin, part keeper.
Milk tray.
It's full milk yeah. tray.
Yeah, it's a great
big ninja
reference.
Boy, isn't he?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I love watching it. He made a lovely save in the first half.
Uh-huh. But he was very busy. I mean, obviously, Liverpool played a far weakened side, but still, they've got some decent players and they were 2-0 up. And as well, yeah. when anybody suggests, oh, you know, we were concentrating on the league, he threw on Firmino and Salah.
He did.
He wanted to win that game.
Of course
game.
He did as well. And I think... Is this the wheels coming off? Are we about to see a 6-game losing streak from Liverpool that lets anyone else back in?
Well, you know, you talk
impossible
about...
Impossible in the FA Cup.
I don't think yeah. we are, but...
You talk about a weakened squad, a team, and it was a weakened team, but...
Didn't lose.
But they did... There was. I mean, look, Adrian's an experienced pro.
Origi?
Matip, Lovren, Origi, Fabinho, Minamino's played in the Champions yeah. League. Mm. Oxlade-Chamberlain came on, Salah. Yeah. That's 9 players you'd consider to be first-team squad regulars.
Mm-hmm.
They all played... in some capacity, and when can you imagine the manager when after the half time the Shrewsbury team come out? Just imagine the things he probably said at half time,
yeah.
And then Donald Love goes and does that,
yeah,
within 30 seconds.
I was thinking,
it's a lovely finish.
Well, I was thinking, oh, that's a shame. Maybe he was trying to pass it back to the keeper. And they're saying, why would you pass it back to the keeper? No, it was just awful, wasn't
playing
it?
Out
it
from
was
the
just
back,
awful.
Mate.
Yeah,
yeah, what a glow that was.
It really was. It was just so
incisive, just wasn't it? Very incisive on,
yeah, goal. It was so perfectly in the corner. You can see as he's glanced up, even he's going, I've not given the goalkeeper a chance there.
It's one of those touches where. You don't see a ball come off someone's foot like that. You know when no. Ronaldinho did something in his heyday, and you say, "I've never seen that before."
Yeah.
It was a bit like that, but
he's trying to sweep it away from the corner, and he's, I think he's either toe end of it or heel end of it. I can't remember.
With the penalty, was it not a bit outside of the box? I can't remember. I thought it was wholly outside the box.
VAR might have ruined our fun, Pete.
Right.
But sadly for Liverpool, and luckily for us, VAR was not available.
Yeah. Do you think the referee? Oh, clearly I'm not suggesting anything, but I would like to think in the spirit of it, someone was saying to the referee,
"The ref
don't check with VAR. No, it's fine. If
there
I
is
don't,
no
don't
VAR.
Ruin it.
There's no VAR because it was away.
Of course, Shrews, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the answer to your question is no.
No, exactly. Yeah, we've cleared that up finally.
You put that one to bed and you've done it well because
yeah.
the referee simply just said VAR is not available. So even if I wanted to use it, I can't.
Let the Cumdog see the penno.
Yeah,
that's what he said.
And yeah, they
I think it's worth noting that the Cumdog is half Scottish and half Australian.
Oh, really?
Oh,
that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. That makes
perfect sense.
It was Australia Day the other day. Yeah. In fact, it was on that day. He scored yesterday.
There you go.
He's got one of those wonderful kind of undercuts, and that doesn't get said often enough, in my humble opinion, wearing on my own myself,
yeah.
Where it gets a little bit too long. A little bit too long. You need to shave the back.
His hair is shit.
Yeah, my hair is shit.
Yeah.
So
fair enough.
Yeah, you know, everyone's hair is shit.
Stop having a go at hair.
Yeah.
Klopp said that he and the first team won't be there for the replays. They want to respect the winter break.
Yeah.
So they've got families.
This is an interesting situation.
Yeah.
And I think Jules and Andy might be planning on talking about it tomorrow. So maybe people can tune in to hear a sober opinion on it. But it is an interesting situation because they agreed that winter break and the Premier League wrote to the clubs and said, because they're doing this kind of staggered thing where the teams get a longer break. There's like, I think there's 10 games in total across like 9 days.
And the Premier League have said you're not allowed to do
wrote to the teams and said, can you please not schedule any kind of lucrative friendlies or anything like that? Yeah. Then the FA have come along and said, well, we're going to play the FA Cup replays in the middle. Mm. And Klopp's, I guess, got a convenient fig leaf there to say, well, I'm not getting involved in that.
We're going to Gran Canaria. Yeah.
Yeah. Got to break, Jim Campbell's is excellent. Park. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mean, because, yeah, it's not a tradition. It's not a winter break like sort of Serie A.
It's not a winter break, is it? No. By any stretch of the imagination.
It is going in that direction for Premier League.
But it's a shit show anyway, Marcus, because they're having to squeeze in exactly the same amount of games in a shorter amount of time now because of that break.
Yeah, that's true.
So the overload's going to happen just in other places.
The situation with a lot of people complaining about the FA Cup replays, it's really, it's not a nice situation to be in, where a lot of Premier League managers, and to a lesser extent, some of the Championship teams are complaining about the amount of games they're playing, and they're sort of saying, we don't want to play FA Cup replays. Like, win your bloody matches then.
Yeah.
Like, what about this for really an
idea?
Easy.
What about this for an idea then? Because you know the idea with the lucrative replay, so Shrewsbury get to go to Anfield now, it'll be lucrative for them. They're a club that... clearly, well, most clubs at that level need the money. There was talk before the game, wasn't there, that the money they got for Joe Hart eventually made them sustainable for a long time, or they're able to build a stand with it or something. What about if when the draw's made, the two teams can say to each other, if we both agree, we can settle it on the day.
Well, James in Thailand actually emailed in. I've got a splendid plan, he says, to sensibly reform the FA Cup. Seedings. 64 teams in the third round. That means 20 Premier League teams in the top of the Championship will be the seeds. Let the unseeded teams choose if they want to play at home or away. But that does... So it gives people a big payday.
Isn't part of the brilliance of the FA Cup that it's unseeded, though?
Yes, it is.
I think you're taking away probably the best feature of it there. Mm. Mate, is the answer...
Never email us again.
That's your idea.
No, mine was if the teams get to... So, say, for example, Newcastle draw...
Oxford United.
No, right. West Ham. West Ham, right? Mm. And they're both struggling against relegation. They can both agree there and then, let's settle it on the day. There's no replay. But both teams have to agree. Whereas if you have Shrewsbury v Liverpool or Newcastle v Oxford, the other team isn't going to agree to that. It's tough titty.
Well, what if it's drawn away and there is a lucrative tie? One team is going to go, no, I'm not going for that.
Yeah, but it doesn't happen.
Yeah, but it's fine. Yeah. Well, actually, after Newcastle and Oxford drew 0-0, both managers said, or they would have preferred to sort it out on the day.
Brucey, get in the bus afterwards, straight down to the other ground. Two matches in one night.
Yeah, do it then.
I think the reason why they probably
sort injuries out.
I'd say so. I reckon that they probably wanted to sort it out on the day because Bruce is thinking we can't bother with the replay, and Carl Robinson thought we've got them. But Newcastle will have to wait some more to see if they can reach the fifth round for the first time since 2006. Mm-hmm. 2006, but I think you said 7 or 8. It was actually 2006. I had a little look.
Well,
so actually, it's
even worse.
So you can go on a 6-game losing streak in the FA Cup.
And credit to Oxford. They've had some. I mean, Newcastle were abject, but Oxford, from what I saw, Oxford have had some decent performances against better teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, they dumped West Ham out, and if you look at that West Ham team, by the way, in the League Cup, that was a strong West Ham team.
Yeah, West Ham are a bit crap though, but still,
that is true.
Still though,
it's a good, and they didn't disgrace themselves against Man City as well.
No,
And now they've done this. So I mean. Yeah, maybe we've been a bit harsh on Newcastle United.
Well, Marcus Brown, I tell you what, it was very nearly nice to have a Marcus, isn't it? Because Marcus Brown had a chance. And Carl Robinson said this about the Middlesbrough loanee. Now, normally managers can be a little bit coy.
Even his player. I know what you're going to say. And it's not even his player.
Some managers, they sort of go, yeah, he'll be disappointed with that. And you think, oh, he's a bit fuming. He said, the last thought in my head as I go to sleep tonight will be, what if? Brownie's such a talent, but his finishing is useless.
I mean, and what is the rest of that statement? Oh, you should hear him on the piano. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, he's really
a terrible footballer, but a great musician.
He owns three caravans.
Yeah. It was a good chance, but he was under pressure and he was slightly off balance. I mean, just to hang him out to dry like that, I think is a little bit harsh, considering they've just got a clean sheet at a very difficult place to go. Chelsea couldn't do it.
I enjoyed Lazaro coming in from Inter Milan, obviously, and he said, in England, you're more on display. And what a display it was. I guess with 52,000 people watching.
What do you mean you're more on display?
You just
mean
more
like
on display.
The shorts are a bit it shorter.
Was, they all play with their cocks out.
Yeah.
He's been watching Jason Cummins again, hasn't he?
Oh, my goodness.
More takeover chat, guys.
Here we
go. Come on. One. Yes. Saudis are in. MBS. coming to save Newcastle United. We'd probably know more about the takeover.
Yeah.
But all the journalists don't have any heads.
Yes.
I know.
Will people be queuing up to cover this if it's being run by the Saudi government?
No, they won't.
No. Yeah.
Will workers' rights improve or decline?
Good. I don't think any of the Newcastle United players deserve anything.
Sheffield United, it's not doing too badly there. People forget that the Saudis are in charge there.
I didn't actually know that.
Do you not?
No, I didn't know.
I think it's the Saudi prince. He's the owner, and I think his son is the chairman of Sheffield United.
I see.
You see.
But is there what are the jungle drums saying up in Newcastle? Are people thinking it's likely to happen or not?
Well, last time the breakdown of the takeover in the Middle East was released was made clear by a local radio DJ in the region. So Staveley's involved this time, apparently.
She was involved last time. She was photographed in the stadium.
Does she just turn up and try and sell the club?
It just means it's 300 and odd days till Christmas, and I'm excited.
Yeah,
right, okay.
It happens every time this year.
Newcastle take over, and I thought, well, I can't wait for the next one. One newspaper had this as a headline. Where are we? Saudi 340 million takeover of Newcastle. 90% certain, but leaks threatened deal. I mean, 90% certain, but leaks.
Wow.
What
does that mean?
I think the leaks are going to win. I think they are going to win.
Can I also? That reminded me of someone tweeting because it's silly season in January in football, and you get all these ITK, which for those who don't live their lives on Twitter, God bless you. Mm-hmm. It stands for in the know, and people go onto Twitter, start accounts, and pretend to know everything about transfers. Mm. And someone tweeted this about. I'll just read the tweet to you.
Far away.
Gareth Bale to Spurs equals 100% done. Green tick emoji. Just the issue of transfer fee and player wages.
That's all you need.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're very much kind of
the whole thing
focus of the deal, aren't they? Really? Yeah.
Well, they are.
So maybe it's like that.
They
are going to take over the club. They just need to work out how much they're going to pay, the terms of it, and when it's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. It was like when Jose Mourinho was talking about Christian Eriksen over the week, and he sort of said, it's nothing to do with us. It's all about Inter Milan. That is the major part of a transfer, isn't it? The buying club.
Can you use Christian Eriksen's full name, please? Pete Donaldson's selection for Betway's 4 to
Thank
score Christian Eriksen.
Thank you, yes.
Didn't travel with the team. Didn't make it into
If you'd
the
like
squad.
Any players to leave your club, just give us a nod.
It would have been, I was gutted he didn't move because it would have been the first time you had legitimately got through a selected player before the score who literally didn't play for the team.
Yeah. He's probably still in the FPL team, to be honest.
Probably is.
But we're all learning together.
Yeah.
So would they be encouraged by that display against Oxford United and think yes? Or would they think actually it might work in their favour because they'll think this team are so shit that we can only improve them?
Right now, Luke. Newcastle United aren't a football team.
What are they?
They cannot play against teams.
Hang
who...
about. You're talking about the side that beat Chelsea recently.
Yeah.
They had an amazing draw away to Everton.
Yeah.
Have a bit of respect for Bruce's.
He's actually talking about the team that drew to Oxford, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the one. It's exactly the same people.
Is that the same team?
Get a team that can do you both.
They can't play against teams that don't want to play. They can't play against defensive teams, which is how Oxford's set up.
So. I do find it funny, leaks threaten the deal. What that headline should say is that 90% certain, but performances on the pitch threaten the deal. because I'd imagine the person buying the club just, I'm interested in a Premier League club. Can I just watch a couple of highlights? We'll do that after the deal,
90%, I mean, that is quite certain. if you said to me, are you 90% certain that you're going to be somewhere? And I said yes.
Yeah.
You'd expect me to be
I'd
there.
I'd turn up thinking he's going to be here any minute.
So I don't know why the language is different when it comes to takeovers of football
clubs. It depends on the day that you chat to Mike Ashley, doesn't it? Like, it seems so capricious. There's a bit of Henry VIII about Mike Ashley, actually.
I think there's a lot of Henry VIII about Ashley. But yes, there we are. Shall we move on then to the big West derby? It was West Ham v West Brom. Bilic's boys march on past his old team, of course. West Ham really are poor.
My goodness. I've been thinking about this for the last 24 hours or so.
Yeah.
And I'm pleased that we're in the studio now.
Very intense. Well, you're right.
In the studio to put this right, because Jim, you wouldn't, might not have heard it, but on Friday's preview show, I basically said that every team in the Premier League, apart from Liverpool, is largely got capacity to be absolutely shit.
You did.
But I think it's gone underplayed how shit West Ham are.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Sometimes it happens when you do these shows.
Yeah.
Like you end up talking about other stories and it goes under the radar. Mm-hmm. For the avoidance of any doubt, West Ham are abysmal. Mm-hmm. They're abysmally bad.
They are.
A couple of my friends, one who works for the Premier League, one who's a cameraman who covers Premier League games every week, One of them is even a West Ham fan and said West Ham are by far the worst team I've seen in the Premier League this season. By far.
Blimey.
And there's some pretty crummy teams.
Well, Norwich are able to be good for like half an hour and Bournemouth went through a phase of having absolutely no players left.
Yeah.
So you can kind of make an excuse for them. Whereas West Ham, one of the things really, really sad for West Ham fans, among all the other stuff that's sad, is that when the Pellegrini regime was moved on, apparently they took all their recruitment people with them.
Yeah, because his
Pellegrini's son was
Mario.
I can't remember his surname.
Lucio, I think his name.
Lucio, yeah, that
something
right.
like that. Yeah, both of Mario. I'll just call him Mario.
Yeah,
Mario and Manuel's son,
Luigi.
Yeah.
Mario Lopez from Sevilla. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. AC Milan Slater. their sons were the scouts.
Yeah,
and they've all gone, and so there is a bit of a gap there at the moment because he was sporting director. Yeah, absolutely.
So they've got there in big trouble.
They are in big trouble. And old Moisey, he hasn't had any sort of impact, really.
No.
If you remember last time when he went in, there was a little bit of a flicker and obviously he saved them eventually. And perhaps this will be the case. But they can't score goals. They look so disjointed. In terms of signing players, I mean, the window will be shut soon. It looks very bleak.
Do you not get a new manager bounce if the new manager is an old manager? I think that would make sense. You can only use it once.
Moyes did say that when he was there the last time, he tried to find something really positive to rally the team around and get a positive aspect to get them going. He said the last time it was Marko Arnautović, who's this mercurial type player, who when he feels like it can actually do something special. And he just said, I haven't got one of those now. So I don't know what to do.
More honesty from...
speaking of honest, he said, because he made three substitutions at half-time.
He did.
He said, I would have liked to have made more.
Yeah. he made two in the last match as well. Like, I just think he doesn't know his team. I think he just sort of going, right, does anybody fancy being a footballer today? Nope, nobody. Okay, cool.
You do it. You take your boots anywhere.
Mate,
you love a game of footy.
I'm local.
Exactly, you're local as well.
It can't get any better than this. It just can't. Well,
being serious for a moment, my dear uncle Dave, who I was on the holiday with, he's a lifelong West Ham supporter. And
tell
former,
us more about him.
Former,
dear uncle Dave.
Yeah, uncle Dave.
The duddy man.
What's his profession?
He works for BT.
Okay. A bit more boring.
Doing something. I'm not sure. He is a lifelong sort of since they get older at West Ham, and he said it just doesn't feel like the same team anymore. And a lot of older West Ham fans are saying that, and of course they make up a big part of that supportership. Mm. But like that doesn't seem to be changing. You know, a lot of West Ham fans when they moved to the new stadium, they didn't like it and said, "Oh, you know, this is going to take some getting used to." And it seems like that isn't necessarily happening so much now. I have another friend of mine who supports West Ham. As I said, it's getting better, but they are really struggling with their identity at the moment, and that seems to be translating onto the pitch as well.
Yeah, the struggles pervade all throughout that club, and it's poor. But
they are capable of such abject awfulness. I mean, if you look at the team they put out when they lost 4-0 to Oxford, right? Oxford are a decent League One team. Don't take anything away from them; they are decent. I was pleased they got another game because they're a rival to Portsmouth for promotion this season.
Yep.
But they're a League One team. That some of the players who played for West Ham in that 4-0 defeat, Snodgrass, Wilshire, Fornals, Sanchez, Balbuena, Zabaleta,
Cotton.
Diop, these are all first team players for West Ham. So, I mean, they're capable of, I know it's the last regime, but they're capable of absolute shitness.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And they're in big trouble. They're running out the relegation zone on goal difference.
Slaven Bilic smelt blood and they took it West Brom.
Well, it's almost not that much of an achievement because they're only like two spots, technically.
Oh, come on. It's
two or three spots.
It's an away win and West Brom have not been on a good run themselves.
No.
And they changed a few players around West Brom.
They did. Julian Dix, Slaven Bilic's assistant. I just forgot that.
He calls him Dixie, doesn't he?
Of course he does call him Dixie.
After football, he retired and became a pub landlord. And he also got really into golf, but he stopped that because he kept getting so angry he would smash his clubs up.
I believe
smash his clubs up.
Dix.
How do you smash a golf club?
Oh, a lot of people snap them over their knees.
Can you really? Is that all right? Fair enough. I imagine he's biting them.
I think he came very close to being a pro golfer, didn't he, Dix?
Probably. I think he was good. I think he was very
until
good.
Until he kept smashing his golf
he ran out of clubs.
But there's Mike Dean caddy for him and he just kept sending him off.
You know that West Ham played that game in hand against Liverpool on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So Bournemouth could, I've got it in front of me. I hope I've got the
maths
right.
Is that a game in hand?
Yeah, no.
Well, the thing is, if they lose by, I think if they lose by four goals, they'll go into the relegation zone. Bournemouth will come out of the relegation zone without playing a game.
Nice. Okay. I like it.
Yeah. Look out for that.
If I was Moyes and you walk off that pitch 2-0 defeat, punch in the air. Come on. Yes. Exactly. It's what we wanted. I'll bite your hand off for a 2-0 loss.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they are poor. But West Brom, I mean, West Brom went down to 10 men. And even when they went down to 10 men, yes, West Ham put a bit more pressure on, but still couldn't find the way
through.
It
was for a good 20 minutes or so as well.
It was.
God, West Ham fans must be absolutely fuming at the moment.
I also don't think, I'm at risk of getting myself in trouble, I don't know if that was a sending off. The second yellow, it looked to me like he played the ball. He gave the ball away, tracked back and tried to win it back, and I think he played the ball, and he got a yellow for that.
That's all well and good. I don't think West Ham should approach it like that. Well, that wasn't a sending off, so...
No, you know, but they have no sending off.
Let's take our foot off the gas in the spirit of fairness.
They did do that.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. Well, let's take our foot off the gas for a moment, Jim, because we're going to have a little break.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, Football Ramble Daily, everybody. And now it's time for emails with PDD.
You email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now PDD's reading it out. Well done.
Hello to Alex. Hi, guys. This week we had a picture of Joaquin Phoenix wearing a Fulham scarf.
Oh, hello.
I was going around Twitter. With him playing the part of the Joker, this adds to Fulham's already pre-existing supervillain fans in the form of Margot Robbie, who plays Harley Quinn, and Marcus Speller as himself.
And Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Was unconfirmed. Hugh Grant, yes.
Yeah. Jacko's the supervillain.
What, you're saying that he wasn't a fan of Fulham?
No, Hugh Grant is a fan of Fulham.
No, what? I mean Michael Jackson.
No, it was just a... It was never confirmed.
It was never confirmed that he was a fan of Fulham.
A lot was never confirmed.
I'll tell you what,
Jackson.
Because he's dead, let's have a vote in here. And then we'll decide. Do we think he was a Fulham fan? If you do, put your hand up.
Yeah.
That's three to one.
You're outvoted, Marcus.
Yeah.
All right. No, I'm not going to go down this road because it can get very messy.
I was going to say something. I can't remember what it is.
It's probably just as well.
One of the most surreal things of doing this job over the years was when we played a live show at the National Football Museum in Manchester.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And over my left shoulder above me was the Michael Jackson statue that had been taken down from Craven Cottage and for some reason put in the National Football Museum.
Yeah.
Next to Bobby Moore's cap.
It's so weird.
Until our left, we had that weird kind of papier-mâché bust of Pele. Well,
At least he was a player.
The Michael Jackson thing, the story behind it is the statue...
It's full of chicken wire.
The statue was in Harrods, wasn't it? And then Mohamed Al-Fayed sold Harrods and he just had a statue of his dead mate knocking about. So I thought, I'll put that at Fulham.
Oh, no, I thought it was... Oh, I thought it was more purposely built for Fulham.
No.
It was disgusting.
I remember seeing it. I remember seeing it.
It was very gauche, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it was an awful statue.
Awful. Hello to Nabil. Abdo, hello. I listen to you from Beirut in Lebanon. Ooh. I do really enjoy the show, although I don't always get your British humour. Can we have an episode where Pete talks with Daniel Farke voice all the time?
All the time? Why don't you give him a quick blast?
Marcus is the best one.
I've a son across the room.
Yeah. What was that?
I was thrown across the room.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Marcus,
how they speak.
I think I'm struggling.
Do you are?
This is a little topic.
The only word he said. The only word he said.
When I say it's better, I think it's funnier.
Yeah. Marcus, yeah. I think if you believe in yourself, your impression can be a bit more major.
Yeah, maybe Jim's is best.
Well, Jim, when you were away, I ran a vote on the best impression
Roland
of
the Chatelet.
Roland de Chatelet. You won. 60%, mate. Yeah. Oh, an absolute landslide.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah. So I thought
it was a bit more like Paddy McGuinness.
Yeah, spells it was fuming because he thinks of that as his territory, the impressions.
I'm really angry. Yeah. Anyway, carry on, Pete.
Daniel Goldberg's got a story about Jermaine Pennant.
Careful.
Yeah, we've all got a story about him.
When I was at uni in Southampton in 2008, my housemate told me a story about a run-in they had with Jermaine Pennant in a local chain nightclub in the city centre while he was playing at Portsmouth. Whilst on a night out, my housemate tried to impress Jermaine by doing keepy uppies with a balloon and shouting, "Hey, Jermaine, can you do this?" His response was to say, "Yeah, can you do this, though?" Whilst waving a huge roll of £20 notes in my housemate's face.
I like it.
If someone's going to give it,
probably didn't happen.
Jermaine Pennant is going
to. I think there's too many. I know, fair play to Pennant if he's doing
You need to bring in the Beauty and the Beast. Tale as old as time. Because people send those stories around. Yeah.
But they
all
do.
The time.
But also, there's a danger of being the didn't happen dickhead from Twitter.
No, but if it didn't happen,
we're stuck in a.
If it didn't, you know what? FHM magazine.
It's not good enough to be it didn't happen.
Yeah. Show my age.
Luke's taking us back to the 90s.
Yeah,
here.
Cool. Your ears are
pricked up. I'm involved, yeah.
FHM magazine used to do. Yeah.
Y'all ready for this? Anecdote.
Bring it under me. Bring it under me. FHM magazine used to run a thing.
Get yourself some.
Used to run in stories where people would send their stories in, and then they'd have a separate section for heard it all before.
Oh, right.
Because they would get these apocryphal tales.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
then
yeah.
The reason that the only way they would know is because they get 50 of them.
Yes.
And I think it's one of those.
Well, I do, because you hear about other players doing that.
Kieran Dyer was a famous one.
Yeah.
Liam Ridgewell did actually get busted for. I think he got fined for his club by his club. I can't remember which club he was at the time. Might have been Birmingham, because he took a photo of himself or a video or something flushing £20 notes down the toilet and uploaded it to social media.
I hope they find him the exact amount that he flushed.
Yeah.
If you get caught waving and like...
Plus a pound. Yeah. Like when Arsenal bid for Suarez.
For Suarez, yeah.
But if you are going to bring a Jermaine Pennant story to the table, why not bring one from January 2011 where he forgot he owned a Porsche and left it at Zaragoza train station for 5 months?
We've all done
it. Wow.
So there we go.
We've all done
That's amazing. Yeah. It's like when... it's not like it, but I just want to talk about it. Do you remember when Shola Amiobi thought he'd been robbed, but he'd just left his house untidy?
Messy house.
And by the time he realised that, the police were already there.
I thought I'd been robbed over the weekend. I was... staying away, and I was having such a relaxing kind of Friday morning. I had a bit of breakfast. I was like, whoa, I'm so relaxed, like unbelievably relaxed. And then I'd sent my landlord's team of crack engineers to fix my fridge, and they found my keys just in the door open.
Well, you left them there all weekend.
In London.
Oh no.
I was so relaxed though. Yeah. I was so relaxed.
Where were you on the Friday
You're
morning?
A man who thrives
I was
in
away
danger,
from
the
house.
That's why.
Oh.
But I was still in London, but I was just I'd left my door unlocked with the key.
You're normally locking it when
exactly.
There's people in it.
If anything, I lock it too well usually. That was emails.
You email show at footballrambledaily.com, and now Pete is reading it out. Well done.
Well done indeed. Now, Luke Moore, what is our update on 4-2 score?
Yeah, Betway 4-2 score update. We selected some players we thought might be first goal scorers in Betway's 4 selected games for a chance to win £50,000. Jim, you had Matt Phillips because you did not get in touch while you were away, so I made one up for you. Matt Phillips didn't score first.
Yeah, well, cheers, mate.
He didn't even score.
You knew it would be a West Brom player, though.
Exactly. Yeah, I chose Jared Bowen for Hull v Chelsea because he's an exciting player and he's been linked with a Premier League move.
Yeah.
But that took a grand total of 6 minutes to be destroyed by Michy Batshuayi. So I'd like to know if people have kept a tab on it when they're listening, what's the quickest denial of a first goal scorer. Mm. Because the thing is, like, Pete, you picked Christian Eriksen, he wasn't even in the squad. So, yeah. I mean, that's arguably worse. Marcus, you had Gabriel Jesus, who did score. In fact, he scored twice, but not first in Man City v Fulham.
Tim Ream put a stop to all
Pour one out for Tim Ream because that was dreadful.
Or Tim Eitmer, as you called him on Twitter.
Yeah. Did you like that one, Jim?
I did.
Thanks, mate. I got a lot of stick for that, actually.
Yeah, well, you know.
What can you do? So there'll be another Betway 4 to Score bunch of selections on Friday's preview show. Stick around for that. And also stick around, of course, for the masked winner.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now we move.
Oh, no, hang on. We won't have the masked winner because you're not here on Friday.
No, you're going to have Luke's game. Do you need? Shall I create a jingle for you? Do you need a jingle?
Yeah. Yes.
I'll create a jingle.
The answer to that is always yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Oi,
yeah.
Let's have a jingy.
Yeah. Let's have a jingy.
Yeah. There we are. Let's move on then.
I feel quite proud about that.
Well, he hasn't done it yet.
No,
and it could be an absolute stitch up.
And it'll be slagging me off, won't it? Let's be honest.
Now then, Manchester United. Eh? Manchester United are back, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Did you see that?
Give Ole Gunnar Solskjaer whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Because Man United are back.
Well,
so, I think this is what's rocked Liverpool, you know.
Maybe. Maybe. They're going to knock them off their perch.
Yeah. Yeah, they had the Man United game in the dressing room before, and they were like, Jesus.
6 goals.
It's back on.
Yeah.
Boys, different scorers.
It's back on. It is absolutely back on, because that team we've just watched destroy Tranmere Rovers are a mere 33 points behind us in the league.
Blimey.
So it could be.
And it's only January, so they can bring it back.
All be to play
Old Trafford, person who looks after the environs, the pitch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dig it up. Dig it up, because they seem to really
rip it up and start again.
Tranmere pitch was quite something.
They seem to really love dirty old
but
pitches.
But you know, Solskjaer got a lot of stick a few weeks ago for saying that Man City, the team Man City put out, really respected Man United.
Yeah.
Did you see the other thing he did this weekend with Tranmere?
One.
So I don't know which Tranmere player it is. I think it might even be the goalkeeper. I'm not sure though. He's a big Man City fan, and before the game, he said that. He was interviewed ahead of the potential FA Cup upset. And of course, it's not often that press come to places like Tranmere and national press and ask them questions. And he was interviewed about being a Man City fan. And he said he didn't think that Man United had the right to kind of look down on Man City anymore.
Mm.
And it was just like a bit of a fun thing. I think he was taking the piss, a bit cheeky, blah, blah, blah. Solskjaer apparently sought him out and said, grabbed him and said, thanks for giving my team the motivation today.
Well,
and it's like... Mate,
you're better than that.
But doesn't that just feed into his point? It just sounds so, like, kind of just got at,
well,
doesn't it?
He's got a real big club attitude, hasn't he?
Yeah,
as the manager.
So it's reported in the newspaper today. The player was Scott Davis. Solskjaer, the headline is Solskjaer thanks Tranmere goalkeeper for firing up Man United.
Well, he fired him up very much so.
Yeah, I bet City are quaking in their boots reading that.
Yeah, well,
you get the impression sometimes with Ferguson, like, and the Ferguson era, like, I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, that he probably couldn't even tell you remember who they were playing against.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, we're going to beat them. So that's
sometimes when Solskjaer speaks, it's as if an ex player who does club tours during match days has, like, just wandered into the manager's job.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not like far away, obviously.
Like when John Terry was doing those tours. No, different. Different to that.
He wasn't an ex-player. a non-sanctioned tour. Harry Maguire scored his first goal for the club. I know it took a little deflection on the way.
It was a lovely hit.
But it was a great hit. Especially on that pitch, the way he kind of almost cut across it, you know.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
I really wanted Solskjaer afterwards to compare that to company's goal.
Yeah.
That would have been amazing.
Yeah.
It would have been amazing. I actually stuck around because I thought it's a chance he might say it.
Well, we're now getting the best out of Maguire.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
But Tranmere I watched the game. I even tweeted about it, and lots of people and took the piss out of me, which is absolutely fine. I said, it's great to sit down on the Sunday after a nice Sunday roast and potentially see May not be knocked out of the cup, because I do personally find that kind of thing interesting. Mm. But Tranmere, in that period of like 6 or 7 minutes, they were just blown away. And that was it. It was always going to be that after that.
Yeah. They were brilliant in the first half.
Even Jesse Lingard scored.
That's his first goal. He got one goal in total in 2019, didn't he?
Is that right?
And he's already got one this year, so he's doing better.
Found his level.
What about that lovely goal against Panama in the World Cup, though?
Won't forget that in a hurry, will we?
I won't.
Apart from the fact that I literally forgot it.
Indeed, yes.
Anthony Martial's goal was special, wasn't it? That's worth
That took a deflection, out. I think, as well.
Did it? Reflections all over, but I enjoyed it all the same.
Yeah, you can enjoy it, Jim, absolutely. Phil Jones got booked early on, of course he will.
Can I just say, Phil Jones, there was a player for Tranmere, Ferrier, who played really well. He was a winning runner, he ran his socks off, he gave people a lot of trouble. Phil Jones was in a bit of trouble.
I know!
Yeah.
He got booked early, and the commentator at one point, when one of the, I forget, it might have been your man there, was running at him, and Phil Jones already on a booking. I was like... We're not even halfway through the first half of
it. Dead Poets Commentator, legend.
Yeah, because Phil Jones is a meme, isn't he? Yeah.
Well, Phil Jones, though, one report said within 5 minutes he looked as though he had suffered a face-first journey into a pigsty.
Yeah.
And I thought, all right, I've had enough of this.
Why?
Because it was nice for Jones to score his first goal since 2014.
I've had enough of this because he once played for England.
And he's in the England squad of the World Cup. And
there it is.
He scored his first, but he just chucked this one out there, Jim. Scored his first goal since 2014.
Well, he's a defender.
Yeah, so?
Well, Des Walker on his career.
Tell Steve Bruce that. He's going to get 30 a season. Tell Ronald Koeman that. 250 goals.
Indeed. But I just think that since that story about him saying, oh, I know I'll be offered a testimonial at Old Trafford, but I won't take it because nobody will turn up. And it's like, oh, Phil. Oh,
I didn't hear him say that.
Yeah, I feel a bit sad. Yeah, it is a bit sad. So
I mean,
nice
that is a very harsh thing to say, obviously.
And it's not really his fault that Sir Alex Ferguson tipped him to be the greatest player in Man United's history. He did say that.
That was poor, But it was just nice to see him with a smile on his face.
That's Jones, arguably the way he's looking, could be our best ever player. I think Jones may be one of the best players we've ever had, no matter where we play him. At 21 years of old, he's going to be a phenomenal player. He can play anywhere on the pitch.
Yeah, why on earth did he say that?
I think at that age, he looked like an
absolute. He did look brilliant. Do you remember when he played for Blackburn?
Yeah. No, but even if he meant that, that's poor from Ferguson. And that's his legacy, quite frankly.
You know when you always see Alex Ferguson in the crowd, he's always chuckling away to himself.
Yeah. That's
apart
probably
from,
it.
Apart from that one time when he stormed off and went to and took over Solskjaer's office again.
Oh, yeah.
It must be because he's looking at Jones going, do you remember what I said about him?
Oh dear. Oh, they're going to really.
Anyway, he just wants good to be, win. Well done.
He wants to be missed, Ferguson.
I would love. Do you know what? I'll stick my neck out here now. I would fucking love Pompey to get Man United at Fratton Park.
Would you?
Really?
That'd be brilliant.
It would be good.
But Old Trafford, do him again. Like that time you utterly dominated them for 90 minutes, but only won 1-0.
Yeah, battered them.
Crazy. Yeah. Before we move on, obviously, we have to say that, of course, Tranmere beat Watford last week to face Man United, and Watford had already put the tickets up on sale for the fourth round, which made it inevitable that Tranmere would beat them.
Yeah.
We said this at the time. I understand Watford had to do it, but you just thought, well, that's written in the stars.
But the thing is, it's also such a strength-sapping pitch that to play against a Premier League team a few days before that, it's a big effort.
Well, but also, though, for Manchester United, it's doubly impressive considering the pitch and all that kind of stuff because they normally stay at the Lowry Hotel before matches, but
this time they
couldn't because it was booked up with a Strictly Come Dancing tour party.
I mean, how big is the hotel?
There we are, you see.
It must have more rooms than that.
Well, I've stayed there and I thought it was bigger.
Have you? That's where Mourinho stayed.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. Lived.
Yeah, yeah.
They're still cleaning the room out for that. So that one's off limit.
It's like the room in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
This is back country.
The rumour suggesting if results don't improve, they will actually sack Solskjaer, although other Manchester United fans are certain.
They were singing his name at Tranmere.
Yeah. Did you see the win? Yeah. But other sort of Twitter feeds and so on who are quite learned say they're not going to sack him because business is still good for the Glazers, blah, blah, blah. But some are suggesting that Gareth Southgate would be approached if Solskjaer was shouting. I thought, hands off our Gareth.
Yeah, you must be gutted about that.
It won't happen.
But if it did, how would you feel? Mixed emotions?
What, if Gareth Southgate went there?
Yeah.
Gutted.
Would you be?
Yeah. Gutted, mate.
So would I.
You know, but then we could have Roy Hodgson back. Look at me saying we like England.
Yeah. No, wouldn't it? Don't suck our Gareth into that vortex. No, things are going well.
Exactly.
We don't want to upset anything.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. You mentioned Portsmouth there.
Yeah.
Let's give Portsmouth a proper mention. Yeah. Because they beat Barnsley 4-2.
Said no one ever.
The Pompey boys made all the noise.
Yes.
They're in the fifth round of the FA Cup for the first time since 2010, which is, of course, when they reached the final. Is that a good omen or not?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Spurs fans will be quaking in their boots because obviously Portsmouth knocked them out in the semi that year.
Portsmouth at home are decent.
They are. I don't think they've lost at home in the league this season. The only game they've lost at home this season, I think, from memory, is when they were battered by Southampton in the League Cup.
Yeah, I don't want that.
It's good. They're in good shape. They're in good form. They're coming into form at the right moment. Ronan Curtis is playing well, scoring a lot of goals. He loves a big occasion, Ronan Curtis.
Well,
I'm not surprised to see him do some stuff.
You could forget that Barnsley are a league above Portsmouth.
Exactly.
But the way Portsmouth, watching the highlights and all, it was just routine stuff.
Well, the crucial moment was when Portsmouth obviously went a couple of goals up, then Barnsley scored. Mm. And then I remember thinking, oh God, here we go. But then Portsmouth scored again straight away, and that kind of settled them down again. Barnes didn't seem to take a lot of fans, and there weren't that many Pompey fans there. You're so used to seeing the whole thing being full that it was a little bit surprising why there weren't so many fans there. I am a fan, and I didn't go, so I can't really blame anyone else. But the draw is tonight, obviously.
Ooh.
I would love Portsmouth to get a big Premier League team at home.
He's got to be at home just to see
what they're, how good they actually are, because they're in good form, they're confident, and at home they're a very, very strong prospect.
Was the game against Southampton earlier in the season, was that not a big enough sample size?
League Cup, mate.
Yeah, okay.
League Cup. No one cares about the League Cup. No, right. Two bit teams.
Get rid of it.
League Cup.
Get rid of the League Cup.
The two cup competitions I care about. The FA Cup
and the World Cup
and the Johnston's Paint Trophy or whatever it's called the leasing.com trophy, which Portsmouth are the holders of.
Yeah, what about the Checker Trade? Is that
same thing?
Yeah,
yeah, same.
Get all of those trophies.
Yeah, they do change their sponsor to. It gets more baffling every year. Yeah. Leasing.com trophy. It's called this year.
It was the Milk Cup, the FA Cup. No, the League Cup was the League Cup used to change quite a lot.
The Rumbelows Cup.
Rumbelows. Yeah, we could go on.
I think
but
the Milk Cup might be the pinnacle of that.
Yeah. Just sponsored by milk.
Yeah.
People just go, we want people to drink more milk.
Who's in charge of milk?
The milk board, I guess.
Yeah.
Odd. Very true. Let's go down to the Championship then. There was a game there. I don't want to talk about Michael O'Neill and Stoke for a little bit. They beat Swansea 2-0. And when O'Neill took the job, people said, well, how are you going to do sort of Northern Ireland and Stoke, you know, a bit of both? Obviously, Stoke will take up most of his time due to the amount of games and whatnot. But he's done a very good job so far. They were bottom when he took over in November. Stoke are now 19th, 7 points above the relegation zone. They'd won two games all season before he took over. And since he's been there, they've won seven and drawn twice in his 14 games in charge. Very impressive indeed from Michael O'Neill, who's gone down there. And I'd like to give him a bit of praise. Yeah, kudos.
Is he stepping down from Northern Ireland at some point? I might have read that
somewhere.
It's
usually the case that if... Because they won't want to lose him.
Mm. No.
But it's very difficult to do both.
A friend of mine, and I believe someone you know as well, Marcus, is Scott Richards. Yeah, he's a producer at Talk.
Oh, yeah.
He's a big Stoke
fan. Sounds made up, isn't he?
Yes. he's a producer at Talk Sport.
Your other friend.
And he follows Stoke around all the time.
We met him down the caravan. You can't meet him. Skull.
He doesn't like you, Jim. and that's why I was a bit awkward bringing it up. But he's a big Stoke fan. He follows them everywhere. Oh, and he was at the game at Fulham that I was at when Fulham played Stoke. And Stoke played okay. They did okay. And when Stoke fired Nathan Jones, I spoke to him and he said, it's not the manager, it's the players. Look at the players he's got. They've got amazing talent for that level, and yet they still can't buy it. And at that point, it was ridiculous. They won, as you said, like two games all season. But when I saw them at Craven Cottage, they were okay.
Yeah.
They were decent enough. I mean, they caused a lot of problems for Fulham. And now, I mean, they're not going to get relegated now, nor should they, by the way, because of the players they've got there. But yeah, he's done a good job. I just don't know what the long term plan is, because it don't seem sustainable to me.
No, I know what you mean. And Northern Ireland will be gutted if they lose.
But he's been there a long while, though, hasn't he?
And Northern Ireland.
I think so.
I mean, he sort of famously lives in Edinburgh, but used to, you know, a bit Klinsman like.
Well, he was approached
Germany's
by Scottish,
wasn't he? Yeah, he was. Yeah, but he's done so well at Northern Ireland, and he's built them. You know, they've overperformed, of course. You know, they've built them on organisation and motivation and all those kind of things, and obviously he's gone into Stoke and just looked at them and said, what the hell are we doing down at the bottom of the league, for crying out loud. You know,
you were a big follower of him at Brecon City, weren't you?
Enormous. Yeah.
League 2's Brecon City.
You can't
overestimate the job he did there.
Can't question his time there.
No. You literally have no tools to question his time there.
Exactly. Yeah,
remember anything about it.
But of course some people may be able to.
Yeah. When people wonder who you support, they never think about Brecon, do they?
They usually don't. No.
Where is Brecon, Marcus?
It's in Scotland.
Yeah. Thanks, mate.
It's a city, Brecon City, of course. That's how, you know, that's how the locals pronounce.
Thanks, mate.
Petey, what have you got for us, eh?
Well, did you see a few days ago Bath City versus Hemel? Of course you didn't. It was Bath City versus Hemel.
Well, I know where Bath is.
But Tom Smith... More on that as we get it. Tom Smith, a player, took a shot from like over the halfway line. He saw the keeper off of his line, absolutely whacked it. It went out for like a throw-in. It was a terrible shot.
Yeah, I saw that.
But the goalkeeper for Hemel did a sarcastic kind of dive.
It was an out for player and goal, wasn't it?
Oh, was it?
I think it might have been.
Right? Well, either way, whoever had the gloves did a sarcastic dive.
I think he just wanted a big piece of the action.
He sarcastically dived, taking the piss out of the player. And then about 5 minutes later, the same player rifling home a free kick.
Yeah.
Job done. Thank you.
In,
good night. Check it out. We'll tweet that link out because it's a good little clip.
Brecon is actually in the east of Scotland, within Angus, and it's a town, not a city.
Yeah. The team is called Brecon City.
They are. I don't know why that is.
Yeah. It's a bit of a funny one, though, because Guildford, for example, in Surrey, is very much a town, but of course, it's because it has a cathedral. In old money, it's a city.
Hasn't it been famously turned down for city status quite a few times?
Yeah.
And a lot of the posh people there are annoyed about it.
Yeah. I don't know why that just doesn't change anything.
Is that why they got Figo in?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Brecon's got a cathedral as well. It looks beautiful.
Yeah, there you are, you see.
So, you know, that's still a town. So, population of 7,100.
That's a city.
To you, that city is a city, is it?
It's heartbreaking.
City of gold.
You'll have Ashton as a city at that rate.
Ashton's very much a village, thank you very much.
Hamlet. Okay,
and very happy to be a village, you know. Any more?
Let's get out of here.
All right. No. It's been an absolute pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, talking to yous on this magnificent Monday. Jules and Andy are back tomorrow, of course, for some proper chat. So do listen to that. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, PED.
Bye-bye.
And thank you, Jimmy C.
See ya.
See you later, cum dogs.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.